Welcome. You're listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. MediaTalk 101 was founded in 2005 as a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. And we often mention our award-winning documentary, Captivated, but that's certainly not our only resource. And if you've not had the opportunity to attend one of our MediaTalk 101 seminars titled Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise, you can actually get that on DVD now. Or you can also get that same material presented in our workbook titled Christianity and Entertainment. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president, back in the studio with a friend and co-host, Rhett Simpkins. And last week, boy, did we have a dicey subject. and I don't know if we really even tackled it completely. I know you had some questions that came up after the podcast, and I'm sure some of the questions you were asking, maybe some questions that our listeners have as well. And so in a moment, I'm going to ask you to share some of that before we go into our next question that we have to deal with. But I want to encourage the listeners. I know who some of you are. I've heard from you. Some of you are my friends, and but some of you I don't know. And I want to encourage you that if there's anything that you're scratching your head going, like, I'm not sure he answered that very well, or what about this verse, or how would that scripture apply? I'm not sure Philip is right in this. I'm more than glad to hear from you. So I don't ever want to put myself out there as the authority on all of these things. I'm just a fellow traveler on this journey, trying to navigate some of these really tricky issues in the digital age. And so I certainly don't have all the answers. But I am searching the scripture, and I'm trying to find ways to apply scripture to our unique issues that we're facing today. And it might just be that you have discovered some things in God's word that you feel has helped you when it comes to navigating this technological world and the issues of media and entertainment. And maybe you see things a little bit better than I do. But I don't know that if you don't write. So you can actually write, or you can even call. Our number's on the website. But certainly email is probably the best way to get a hold of us. You can write to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Rhett and I both get those email, so we'd be glad to hear from you. Okay, so Rhett, last week we were talking about conscience, mm-hmm. and some of these passages that Paul has about meat sacrificed to idols and going into idols' temples, or even buying meat from the marketplace that was used in idolatrous practices. And different consciences. So you had some thoughts. You said some questions. What were those?
Yeah, well, I know it seems like that concept has been applied to a lot of different areas of life, such as, you know, whether or not you should have long hair, short hair, you know, is that stumbling your brother? So that's always been something that I've not really had an answer for. And so I was just wondering, at what point is it, I guess, the other party's responsibility to not judge? And what am I responsible for as far as not stumbling my brother? You know, and in application to a lot of different things, you know, I guess I just wrestle with that. I don't know.
Sure. No, it's very tricky, because if I can kind of compress that a little bit and
make... Makes sense.
Well, I don't compress anything, so I'm in trouble. I'll probably expand what you just said. Uh-huh. I won't be able to compress it. But I think what I'm hearing is, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Between saying, okay, I believe I have liberty and good conscience, mm-hmm. to do certain things that I don't believe are unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's that. First of all, let's kind of establish that. We're going to talk about things that are lawful, not unlawful. So we're not going to be arguing whether it's okay to fornicate, mm-hmm. you know, or it's okay to do, you know, to view pornography, or, you know, we could list a bunch of different things that would be unlawful. And so we're not talking about unlawful things. We're going to talk about lawful things to do for the Christian, you know, mm-hmm. where you're not going to find a direct command, you know, that says thou shalt not do such and such. So we're not talking about killing, we're not talking about stealing, we're not talking about, you know, we're talking about other issues that take some discernment and they take some wisdom. And so once again, here I'm expanding your concise question.
Clarifying, which is good.
So where's that line? Where do you draw that line for lawful things where someone would look at me and say, well, you know, I'm going to judge Rhett because he is, actually, you don't have long hair.
Not
you,
anymore.
You have had long hair. So have I, by the way. And, you know, I'm glad to have a short hair now. I'm getting older. You know, we think we look cool when we're younger with long hair. We get older and we realize we weren't cool. And so hair is one of them. There are other issues in our contemporary culture today. Alcohol, drinking wine, or having a beer. You know, these are things that get really dicey, you know, when it comes to people's convictions and so where's that line? Is that right?
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're going?
Yes.
Well, I don't have an answer for you.
All right, a little romantic question.
It's... You know, Paul, once again, trying to wrestle with those principles, Paul is saying we want to do what edifies, what builds up. So I think the heart of this is the heart. Are you trying to be contentious? Are you trying to tout your liberties, to rub it in, to cause aggravation between people? Or is your heart, I want to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a peacemaker. I want to find ways to help us grow together in Jesus Christ without leaving anybody behind, you know? So I'm not trying to create a bigger gap between me and my brethren, you know? I'm trying to help us grow together in Jesus Christ. And so as I've quoted A.W. Tozer before on this, he says, you know, be hard on yourself and be gracious with others. And so that's the attitude I want to have. I want to wrestle with these things, and I want to be hard on myself. I want to say, what do I believe is the highest here? What's God's best? But at the same time, I want to be gracious to recognize that other people may be at different places in their walk with Jesus Christ. So the mature, you know, to be mature in the Lord is to be more gracious. And it's too bad that we can't use the word tolerant in the right context. You know, it's become that word has been ransacked, you know, or it's been hijacked, let's put it, you know. So the word tolerant has been hijacked and used in such a way as to almost leave it unusable. So when I use the word tolerant, I'm going to use it in a different context, to be gracious, you know, with other believers that are in our different places. Now, once again, we're not talking about sin. We're not talking about things that are clearly unlawful. We're talking about things that are questionable, and the issue is going to be the heart. Where's that person's heart? Are they being contentious? Well, that's an issue in itself, regardless of whether you should, you know, what we were talking about last week was should you go into a movie theater or not, or whether you should drink wine or not, whether you should have long hair or not. All of these things, if you are being contentious about them, then it's no longer about the issue. It's about your contentious spirit. Whereas if you have a peaceful spirit, if you have a desire to be loving and gracious towards your brethren and to help them to grow in the grace of the Lord, then now I think we can talk amiably about these things and talk about that line. Where does my liberty, where does that line cross where now I have to, you know, be always judged by those who, you know, in their conscience, Paul would call have a weaker conscience about certain things. They don't have as much liberty in those. And that is, but I think that line has to do with love. So that line is love. What is the loving thing? What is our heart? And my heart and Paul's heart was, I want to do all I can. And so here's an example that you and I talked about when we started bantering about this after the last podcast, was that we've got a case where Paul spoke vehemently against Judaizers trying to compel Gentile Christians to be circumcised in order to be Christians. You know, they had to become Jews before they became Christians and keep the law. And this was all dealt with in the First Jerusalem Council. Paul, you know, spoke, he was very outward about this. And then, yet we turn around the book of Acts and we see that he has Timothy, who had a Jewish mother but a Greek father, was a young disciple, and Paul invites him to come along with him to itinerate, you know, to have an itinerant ministry with Paul. He has Timothy circumcised. After all of this, he has Timothy circumcised. It's like, here's a case where Paul wasn't being two-faced. You know, he's not being double-minded here. He's single-minded for the gospel. He says, I want to reach people. And he knows that in the circumstances where he was going out to minister to both Jews and Gentiles, if he's going to take along someone, they need to be flexible and they need to be able to be able to navigate in these different caustic environments at times. So, and that was going to be one of them. And so Paul says, I really believe that that's why Paul had Timothy circumcised. It was for the sake of making ministry just easier and more peaceful for them. It does, not always the case, you know. Both of them suffered imprisonment and persecution and regardless of that. But we still see Paul's heart. Mm-hmm. And so that's certainly something. So now, I mentioned last week that I was going to share a little bit about some changes in Media Talk. So stay tuned for that. We're going to get to that if we have time. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to just ignore it. But we had another question we didn't get to last week. And I think that it fits kind of along the lines here.
Yes, it does. Yep.
So what was that?
Okay. This person writes in and says, forgive me if it's already been covered, but it's the whole idea of consuming media that uses God's and Jesus Christ's names in vain. Do you think it's okay to watch TV shows or movies or read books that include that, even if the overall content is okay? And what I mean by okay is family-friendly movie. For me personally, it stinks because the movies would be decent, but taking the Lord's name in vain just ruins the whole thing. I'd like to hear your perspective on this.
Okay, I agree. It does ruin. But here's two sides of it. You know, I've talked before about these families that get excited about these boxes, you know, that you can connect to the TV and they take out the bad words, you know. And so like, what do you think of this, Philip? Isn't this great? We have this box that takes out the bad words. And my question is does it take out the bad worldview? Because if it's only taking out the bad words and it's not taking out the bad worldview, then if I had to choose, and thankfully I don't have to choose between the two, but if I had to choose between being accosted with bad worldview and bad words, I think the bad worldview is actually more damaging than even the bad words. But what I'm getting at is if the producers of a movie or if the writers of a book are putting the Lord's name in vain. Now, when we talk about the Lord's name in vain, that can be not just using it as a curse word or profanity, you know, profaning his name, which is the usual case when we think of the Lord's name in vain. When you say they took the Lord's name in vain, we're always thinking of it being used in as profanity. But that's not always the case, because vain just means empty. And, you know, there are people that can use Christians can use sometimes God's name in an empty way, you know, in a way that's not honoring to him or using it casually. In fact, the Jews got so caught up about this, you know, that they wouldn't even write his name, you know. So it's very, this can go to one extreme to one side and it can be too loose on the other. So we need to have a fear of the Lord. We need to honor God. And even Christians need to make sure that we're not taking his name in vain, even though we might not be using God's name as a profane word, but we could use it in vain, you know, or swearing by his name and not really meaning it, or all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So it's much broader. But when it comes to the subject of film, if the filmmaker or the writer of a book is actually using the Lord's name in vain, using it as a profane word, what does that tell you about their worldview? Mm. So even though it might be quote family friendly, I would really question the worldview that is being dished out, you know, in that particular story. So to me, it's just one of those red flags. Now, so I would prefer. I'm like the person who wrote in. I think it just ruins a film. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, it may be a decent film otherwise, but it's cultural, you know, to throw in this kind of language. you know, even if it was historically, you know, if it was a historical narrative and some character was a profane person and they were known to use profanity, I still don't believe it would be appropriate to go ahead and accost everybody with that. I think there's other ways that you could present trying to deal in a historical manner someone who is profane without having them in the film speak profanity. You have the advantage of being the producer or the director or the writer. You can do that. You can figure out a way, you know. So I agree. I think it does spoil a film, and I avoid those. You know, I don't like films that take the Lord's name in vain. And it's not just because of that. It's because this tells me this is bigger picture, you know, what may be the case of this person's worldview. And so I'd be terribly suspicious of their worldview. So what about you, Rhett? Does that offend you?
Yeah, I've shut movies off for that before.
Okay, that's what I would think. That's what I would hope, you know. So it does, it is offensive because we love the Lord, because his name is to be honored. And we're here to glorify him and to lift him up, and his name is being dishonored, you know, in so many ways. And we're here to be lights in the midst of darkness, to be a people that say we're going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to honor our God the Father, and we're going to honor the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to see his name being taken in vain, mm-hmm. and we don't want to be taking his name in vain. And so, yeah, it's very offensive, and it should be. Okay, so... So that was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's about the quickest we've ever had. So, now, you know, for those who listen to this podcast, Rhett and I, we might banter a little bit. I think when we first started the podcast, I was a little more strict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we started this, I was trying, because I hear podcasts sometimes and it's a lot of nonsense banter. In fact, it's one of the things that drives me nuts about even Christian radio. Is the nonsense oftentimes that you hear, the banter that goes on. And so I don't want to banter on this podcast without purpose or without reason. So, but I do, you know, you may be interested in hearing a little bit about what's going on, you know, in our own lives, in our ministry. And if that's the case, keep listening. If it's not the case, you can just push pause on your iPhone right now, or whatever you're listening to this on, you could just turn us off. It's a beautiful thing, you know. It's not, that's one of the beauties of the modern broadcast, is that you have options. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like you're locked into having to listen to this at a particular time or not being able to pause it. So I'll just say goodbye to all those who are not interested. We'll join us next week. And for those who are interested, we're going to talk a little bit about some things going on in my life and in Rhett's life and in Media Talk 101. So where do we start? You want to start? You want me to start?
Go ahead. I'll take it from there.
Okay. All right. Well, some of you know a little bit about my history. I've shared little bits and pieces of it in this podcast, but I have been sharing on the subject of media discernment for about 10 years now. But prior to that, I served as a pastor. In fact, that's how Rhett and I met. I was mm-hmm. a youth and associate pastor at a church, and Rhett was just in junior high when I first met him. And his lovely wife, Emily, was in junior high at the time as well. She was the only good Christian kid we had in the whole youth group. Rhett was a pagan.
Yeah.
And thankfully, he came to the Lord, and he became, you know, just some good fruit. Not much fruit came out of that ministry. That's a whole other subject, you know. So for those of you who want to... pounce on modern youth ministry, I'm with you. So I'm with you. We're, you know, I can I'm gracious. We've been talking about being gracious, mm-hmm. so I'm gracious towards it. But I would do things differently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's part of our history together.
Yep.
So that's where we met. But prior to being a pastor, my predominant ministry was music. I wrote and performed original music. With a guitar, and I did that in coffee houses and churches around the country, and I did several recordings. You can go to philiptelfer.com, a terribly neglected website, but as far as I know, it's still up there, and you can still download probably about 100 songs for free. And you may not like them, but they're God-glorifying, so I can at least promise you that much. And, you know, so that was predominantly my ministry, but throughout the years, alongside music and pastoral ministry, there was, and even this media talk ministry, there's a current, you know, in my life, and that is a gift for teaching. That's really my heart, you know, is that of a teacher. But also over the years, my pastoral heart has grown, you know, and a pastor is just, that's the word for a shepherd, you know, someone who's overseeing a flock. And as a father, I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, guiding my little flock of sheep in my household. But even when in regards to the church, that's where my heart has been for many years. And so I actually served for about 4 to 5 years at a church down in Texas called Living Water Fellowship in Boulevardy, Texas. I was doing both Media Talk 101 and serving as a co-pastor in this family integrated church. And I loved it. But one of the challenges I had was the church was growing and Media Talk 101 was growing. And eventually I couldn't seem to keep my head above water trying to do both. But I loved both dearly. So I began to seek wise counsel. So I talked to the pastors, the other pastors. I talked to, obviously, my wife. And I talked to my board of directors for Media Talk 101. Got input wherever I could, where I felt there was going to be wise input. And essentially, what came back was, Philip, you're just going to have to pray and fast and seek the Lord and get an answer. Because they're both good things. So as I sought the Lord and prayed with fasting, I really felt that it was confirmed that for a season of our lives that I wanted to focus on Media Talk 101. And so I actually resigned my pastoral position to much grief for all of us, because the church loved us and we loved the church and I loved the pastors and the other pastors loved us. And so it was not an easy thing to just step away from that. And so, you know, it was somewhat heartbreaking to do what I believe God was calling me to do. But we did go out with the blessing of our local church there in Texas and with their support, and launched back out into full-time with Media Talk 101. Now, that was significant because when I did that, I had no idea at that time that I would be producing this documentary, Captivated. It was during this time that the Lord kind of lit a fire under me to produce this documentary. And so really, out of the years that I've been doing this ministry, that, you know, I just poured all of my heart and soul and energy into that project. And I believe it's bearing a lot of good fruit. And I believe that it'll continue to bear fruit for years to come. And so that's the last 3 years I've been focusing on the documentary, on developing things like this podcast. I have other projects that I'm working on, you know, where I'm revising the book that I started out with, What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. I started revising that. I'm wanting it to match a little bit closer with the workshop that I've been giving for several years now, Media Choices, Convictions, or Compromise. So I'll probably change the title, update some of the content, and we'll re-release that book. So that's in the works. I'm also in the process of writing a novel. This has been my pet project that I've really been enjoying. It's been 2 years in the making. It might take another 2 years or more before I get it finished. But I'm not going to tell you much about that other than it's taking a lot of the things that I've been teaching over the last 10 years regarding media discernment, but embedding them in what I hope to be a compelling story, and rather than just didactic teaching. So I've got that going on as well. So with all of that, in February of this year, my family and I were down in Texas, and I had a meeting with the pastors of the church that I was working with, Living Water Fellowship. And they met with me, and they asked us to begin to pray as a family about coming back to Texas and stepping back into a pastoral role in the church there. And so this was a big, big transition, and one that I really wanted to take to heart and pray through, because we'd gone through that transition already. So to go back. And so that is, you know, something we my wife and I took to prayer and believed that the Lord was calling us back. So we said, yes, we will come back. So that's why I've been gone for a lot of this summer, was going back to Texas to look for a place to rent, to live, to get reestablished in the church. But that also does bring up some transitions for Media Talk. You mm-hmm. know, I just told you how I couldn't keep my head above water doing both of these things. So what is that going to look like? Well, Media Talk 101 is not going away. You know, and Philip is not going away. I'm still going to be leading this ministry. But my hope all along was that Media Talk 101 wouldn't just be about Philip Telfer, you know, that it would be something a little broader than that. And so I've been we're glad to have Rhett here, been mentoring him for years. And so that's one of the things that has changed in the last 3 years. We've been able to bring Rhett on part-time. We're praying that we'll be able to bring him on full-time. Mm-hmm. You know, we, for those of you who don't know, I don't talk about money, you know, either in my presentations or even in this podcast. You know, so, but I'll just, I will mention that, you know, as we do say, we are a nonprofit organization, and that's true. You know, we don't make any profit. There's just, you know, in fact, for the last 10 years, it's actually been very difficult at times to make ends meet and to keep the doors open in this ministry. And we're very grateful that Captivated has helped not only keep the doors open and keep the lights on, but it's also helped us to bring Rhett on part-time. But it's not enough to bring him on full-time at this point. So we're praying, and we invite you to pray with us. And in fact, and if you are, you know, if you're someone that would say, hey, I'd like to support, then we certainly do take donations. So we're not going to deprive you of that. If you would like to support a worthy organization, there's you can either send checks to our PO box, or you can donate online as well using PayPal or another link that we've provided. And that's probably the only time you'll ever hear me give a pitch for that, because it's just not my nature to do so. But we are just letting you know that that's kind of where we're at. So we're glad to have Rhett here, and I hope to see, you know, Rhett also growing. So anyway, that's quite a bit about me. How about you, Rhett? Tell us what's going on in your heart and mind.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, you know, I've had a call on my life to get into the ministry. I really see the Lord working not only in my life, but I have a desire to see Him work through me to impact others. And Media Talk 101 has been something that's really influenced my walk. You know, removing a lot of those distractions, the weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. And so, you know, as I've been influenced by Media Talk 101 and working, being directly mentored by you, and then also, you know, having that small part in Captivated, it has given me this, you know, a passion for media discernment and teaching that. And so as I was able to come on part-time here, you know, it's something that it's just growing in me. And with you leaving and going to Texas, and there's much work to be done, I sense, you know, that God has more for me to do here. And so my life has been changing slightly here so that I could free up some time to devote to this. And I'm hoping to begin maybe doing screenings and speaking on the subject as well. And so we'll see what the Lord does with that. But I certainly see a potential for, you know, being used and spreading the gospel and the importance of media discernment in the life of Christians.
Amen. You know, and so if you're listening and you'd like to host a Media Talk seminar, hey, maybe you can be like some of those early churches who took a risk to have some unknown guy named Philip Telfer come in and speak about media, who was only trying to flounder his way through some presentations. Rhett could do a much better job than I did.
Oh, I don't know about
10 years ago. So so certainly make sure you give us a call and say, hey, we don't want Philip Telfer to come speak. We want Rhett Simpkins. We know this is where the you know, where it's going to be fresh, and, you know, he's, you know, the passion, and we're going to, so we want Rhett. So request Rhett for your presentations. And certainly he'd be glad to show up at your church and put a Captivated DVD on and play this compelling documentary. And he can speak firsthand. He was a part of the production, both helping with it and interviewed in it. So it'd be great to have someone in the movie come and give a presentation at your church. So you better call soon, because the phone lines are going to be full. And so he's going to be way too busy, you know, so you better get on the stick now. And call up Rhett, say, come do a screening, come speak to our youth group. And, you know, Rhett's a young guy, you know, he's really young. He was in junior high when I was his youth pastor. And so, you know, he's got, and I'm really proud of Rhett. He's really stepped up here in the office. He serves all of you, you know, by producing these podcasts and editing them, as well as managing our website, now sending out newsletters and all sorts of things that are quite boring, to be honest. You know, neither of us really would care to do any of this stuff if we didn't have to. We'd rather be just spending time with people, you know, mm-hmm. That's our heart. But, you know, all ministries, you know, it's maybe 5 or 10% of it's out speaking in front of people. The other 90% is behind the scenes, you know, managing websites, fulfilling orders. That's what Rhett does, you know, when he's in here. He's sending out the captivated orders. And I'm just very grateful. And that, by the way, is what I hope to be the solution to allowing me to step back into a pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. And why I couldn't keep my head above water before was that I had to do it all. I had to manage the website. I had to send out the orders. I had to do all that while trying to pastor a church as well. And I just couldn't do that. But I think Rhett is going to be able to help carry the burden of this ministry to the point to free up some time. And the other, you know, the other thing too is, after sharing about media for the last 10 years, I'll be glad to share about media until the, you know, the Lord comes back, if it's in our lifetime. I'll be glad to continue to produce materials and speak to the subject of media. But there's a lot more in my heart than just media. And it's really easy to get boxed in to being the person who's only asked to speak about media. And yet there's a lot in my heart that I want to be able to share. And that the best place to do that is in the context of a local church. So I'm very, very excited about just that part of ministry again in my life. And once again, I'm still going to be available to speak. I'm still going to be, you know, in fact, we've got some things booked into 2014 already. So I'll still be getting out there on occasion to share. But I'm going to be leaning a little bit more on Rhett, and maybe God will be raising up others. Maybe you're listening here and you're thinking, wow, I feel like I'd love to go out and speak about media. Well, give me a call. You know, I'll tell you, we've trained several people over the years. It hasn't bore a lot of fruit. And I think one of the reasons why is it's not an easy ministry. You know, I think there are people who've gotten excited about going out and sharing about media discernment, but they knock on a few doors and they get those blank stares from pastors or secretaries or youth pastors. And the ones that I've gotten over the years, and it gets pretty discouraging when people just don't think it's important, or they're intimidated. You know, they especially youth pastors. Oh boy, let's not talk about media. That's gonna ruin my cool factor mm-hmm. here. So you know that's discouraged a lot of people from addressing it, and you get a lot of pushback. You know, and so. Over the years, I've tried to minimize the amount of pushback just by being gracious, by being kind, and I suppose you could do the same. And if so, feel free to call us. I'm still open to training other people, but at the same time, we got Rhett here as well. He does a good job. Give him a call as well. So anything else that's going on? So we are going to still be doing this podcast, you know, where even when I moved down to Texas, that's why we're experimenting with it, doing a couple remote podcasts. I was doing them out of the RV with my family. Had to chase them all out for a half hour. And then once I get down to Texas, we'll do the same kind of thing. We'll record this remotely, Rhett and I, and we're going to continue to do this for a year. That's our goal. 1 year. And we may continue it after 1 year if there's a need. You know, maybe we're going to run out of subjects to talk about. Maybe nobody will write in with any more questions. Maybe you'll just all burn out and you want to go listen to something more entertaining, you know, than a couple guys talking about media discernment all the time. I feel there's a lot to talk about, but I don't want to beat a dead horse. So you'll be in prayer as well. One of those factors is, if we don't hear from you, if we don't get questions from you, I'm just going to assume we've done our job and are going to move on to other things. So let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Philip and I would love to hear from you. And if you find this program encouraging and helpful, please help us spread the word. Let others know they can find us on iTunes or by visiting mediatalk101.org.